got message and some pictures. I'm gonna look at here a second. And pictures, we're just kind of going to look at the pictures as we read a chapter, okay? So it's not going to be, if you guys can't read, then just look at the pictures and listen, okay? If you can read, you can read Bible, and you can maybe look up and see it as Brother Jonathan skims through it. Okay, so a message today is works that impress or words that sustain. And who is the guy that we've been kind of preaching about last four weeks? Actually, 3 weeks. Elijah, very good. And kind of been preaching about him off and on. And what are the stories that you remember when you think of the prophet Elijah? Maybe some of his stories that you remember. Famous stories about Elijah. You hear the word Elijah, what do you think of? Fiery chariot. There's one. How about another one? The prophets of Baal. What happened to the prophets of Baal? What happened during that? What was a big miracle that happened there? Fire came down from heaven. And what, all the children of Israel had a revival that day, didn't they? Pretty big day. What else? There's some more stories about Elijah. Aren't the only two? God provided for him there with the ravens. Talked about that the other day. Anything else? God provided him through the widow and provided for her as well. Anything else? The drought. Prophecy. 3 years. It's going to be drought. There was some more fire from heaven instances. Yeah. Is it two or three times?
Two times
and third time, not fire from heaven. Yeah. And pretty impressive things, you think? You guys ever seen Pastor Derek call down fire from heaven? Oh, I forgot one thing. Remember, he crossed the Jordan River, right? Just like Moses did. Pretty impressive things that he did. Let's look here in 1 Kings now, 19. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and Brother John's going to try to figure out what picture goes with what verse. First Kings 19. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, pray please work in my life and every life here that's listening. And I ask, Lord, that you'd please use your word, minister us, and know, Lord, it won't return void. Please teach us what you want us to hear for this week and our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. They've just got done with Mount Carmel. Oh, another miracle I forgot. He beat a chariot. He ran faster than a chariot, didn't he? Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as a life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So let the gods do something. It's kind of like it was in at that time. Everyone was saying it, it seems like. Someone else said it a couple places nearby here. Kind of like that was kind of a saying back then with those pagans. Anyways, verse 3, and when he saw that he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts and for the children of Israel, have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence, and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him, and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen, and ran after Elijah, and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat, and they arose, and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. How'd Jonathan do with the pictures? You doing all right, kids? Don't know? I'll never know. Is it hard? Yeah. Okay. So we see right after one of the most famous miracles in the Bible, one of them, fire from heaven there on Mount Carmel, you know, with all that water on top and all the people watching there. It was a pretty big day. I think if Pastor Derek had a big day like that, he'd be pretty encouraged. If I did, for sure, I'd be pretty encouraged, wouldn't I? But what was Elijah's? He was pretty much suicidal, wasn't he? He just wanted to go to heaven. He didn't want to be here anymore. He was devastated. It seemed like none of these big, impressive works he did seemed to matter to him at all. He had a great message starting off his ministry 3 years before. Great message. Just out of the blue, he just came to Ahab and told him that message about the 3 years of drought. God provided him in great and miraculous ways and provide for others too. He was able to see how God provided for other people and for himself. And he had a great revelation that God was going to showed himself to all of Israel there on Mount Carmel. And another great revelation that rain was going to come back. And there was a great revival. And he beat, you know, Ahab down off the mountain. Just a whole bunch of miraculous things. But none of them could sustain Elijah. They impressed others, but they could not sustain him. And probably pretty much everyone here has had at least one big answer to prayer in their life. I know I've had probably more than one big answer to prayer in my life. Some of us might even consider some of the answers of prayer in our life as miraculous. Only something that deemed a miracle. But does that memory satisfy you now? Does that memory satisfy you? Is that something that you'd say, you know what? I can just live the rest of my life without any more things to do with the Lord because, boy, that was a great big thing that God did, and that's enough for me. I don't think any of us could do that. If you're like me, you probably rarely remember them. I barely ever remember these great things that God did for me. Not so much because I'm not grateful for them, but that just doesn't come to my mind all the time. I don't keep remembering, you know, that answer to prayer that happened years ago. They were pretty neat back then when it happened. It was really amazing. I was really grateful for it. But it's not so much, you know, it's real close to me now. It kind of seems like a far, far away thing that happened to me. Kind of like a dream. I believe the Lord's given me some pretty good messages sometimes. This might not be one of them, but, you know, in the past, I feel like, you know, I was really grateful for some of the messages the Lord has given me. And I've seen God provide for me several times in amazing ways there in Guatemala. Definitely seen God's protection on me many times as well. And I've seen people get saved and get changed and grow in the Lord. But these things, you know, they don't sustain me. They don't satisfy me. I don't remember them all that much. Like I said, they were pretty neat, wonderful experiences when they happened. But if I had to take my faith to the bank and someone says, you know, William, why are you a Christian? I probably wouldn't even think to remember about all these great things that God had done in my life. It's not something that my faith, not bragging about, but is resting on. It's just not something that I remember as much. It kind of seems distant. It doesn't satisfy. It can't sustain my faith. And if, you know, if I had to live the rest of my life with no more Bible, no more of God doing anything in my life, and all I had to live off of, for my faith to live off of, was those distant memories of what God had done, I think I would make Doubting Thomas probably a hero of faith there in Hebrews 11, because I would be so doubtful. I would be so wondering about, am I saved, or am I truly a child of God? Because, you know, all I have to live off of, all my faith has to live off of, is those distant memories. And that's how we see Elijah here. His ministry started like a whirlwind, but 3 years into it, he had blown himself out. Blown himself out. Because works don't replace God's words. All right, kids, listen to me. Say it with me. Works. All kids, even Wesley and Felicity. Works don't replace God's words. And God had to take Elijah to the school of Mount Horeb. And what do we see here? He saw that just as he had started with a great big whirlwind, God brought a whirlwind, didn't he? God brought this great big whirlwind, and here it was. But was God in that whirlwind? God caused the whirlwind to happen, but God wasn't there speaking to Elijah out of that whirlwind. Then he caused a great big earthquake. Great big earthquake happened, and was God in that earthquake? He wasn't. God caused the earthquake, but he wasn't in the earthquake. Another great big work. Fire came down. And was God in that fire? God caused the fire. But God was not in that fire. Elijah had done great work with the fire, but God was showing Elijah there in the school of Mount Horeb that it's not the fire. God can cause that. It's not the earthquake. It's not the whirlwind. These are all things that God causes, but you cannot be sustained by these works he's showing them. It's like, if you want to feel relieved, if you want to be satisfied, it is my words, Elijah, that are going to satisfy you. It's not any of these big, impressive works that you do or that I do through you. What's going to satisfy you and sustain you are my words, Elijah. It's only life, God's life-giving words that satisfies us. Only comes from his voice. Many men and women were greatly used by God, but they blew out. I'm not just referring to pastors. Otherwise, that leaves all you guys, except me and Pastor Derek, on the hook here. But many parents, great big last names that we could think of that were pretty famous, and maybe our circles that we heard about. You know, you mention names, you know what happens? Everyone starts, whew, because you can watch them. Watch them thinking about that name of that person. They're just off on that rabbit trail, and they totally aren't even listening to the message anymore. Now I was probably just as bad. You're probably trying, who is he trying to refer to? You know, all getting sidetracked too now. But not just famous pastors, but you know, famous parents, even young people. That God chose them specifically. I do believe, truly believe, that God chose that person or that pastor or that family to do a work in their lives, to do something great with them. But they burnt out. Why did they burn out? God decided to do something great. They burned out because they thought that work, or that work that God was doing through them, trumped God's word. They thought it was that wow, God is using me to do this great work. Let's just build on this work, and let's just build on what God is doing through our lives right now. Let's just build on this ministry that God gave me here, and let's just compound upon it. And let's build off of it. Let's try to sustain this work that's going on here. Or try to repeat try to repeat this work again that God did through our own means, instead of just simply staying in the Word and letting God decide if he wanted to repeat that work or not. Let's look at Psalms 138. Psalms 138. You know, it is possible for God just to do, use you for just one thing. You know, a lot of the prophets, God just used them for one thing, and then that was it. A lot of times I feel like, you know, God decides to use us, and we kind of think, well, that was pretty cool. You know, let's try to do that again. And God's not in the thing. And he could very well use you again. I'm not saying that God only uses people for one thing, that's it. He could continue to use you through that, but isn't something that we should try to fight for. What we should try to do is just stay in God's word to let him do the rest. Psalms 138 verse 2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy what? Say it with me. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. So what's in the very tippy top? God's word, right? And then what? All right, you guys with me here? Everyone awake. The first thing on the very top is God's work. Then you got God's... All right, now tell me, where is God's work? Where could God's work be? It's not above here. I wouldn't put it above his name either. I'm not going to do that. Only thing I can see where it could go is down here. You got God's word, God's name, and then we got God's work. So who are we to focus on his work instead of on his word? I can't see it. The most important thing for us to focus on is his what? His word. If God does a great work through us, then praise the Lord. But let's not focus on that work. Let's focus on his what? On his word. And that's what Elijah had to figure out. He's like, oh, I believe he figured it out. We don't know too much of what he did, but it looks like he trained a lot of people. Looks like he trained a lot of young men. Because when he goes and gets raptured out with that chariot of fire, there was quite a few people that he taught. I think he even taught Micaiah? Yeah. He was right around that time. I don't know. He was, seemed to be running around at that same time, Ahab's days. And God used Elisha in even a double way that he used Elijah. Because I believe that Elijah figured out, I need to stick in God's word. If I'm going to have power, I've got to stick in God's word. So I'm going to burn myself out. Matthew 13, verse 5. Matthew 13, verse 5. I have the parable of the sower here. It says, some fell, Matthew 13, verse 5, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because there was no root, they withered away. Now we use this passage mainly for salvation. Talk about, you know, passing out tracts or going soul winning. And we talk about the word getting thrown out there in the city. And some people are all excited and they start, maybe they'll come to church once or twice and they're all excited. They'll make a profession of faith and whatnot. But then they just kind of disappear, just kind of wither away. And you know that's what it's applied for. Here's witnessing and getting out the gospel to unsaved people. But I believe it could be applied to anywhere where the word of God is being preached, be it out on the street, soul winning, or here in the church to Christians. A lot of times, you know, Christians can hear a message and get all excited about it. Get all excited about doing something great. And they think, boy, I've got everything I need to go do a great work for God, and off they go, running out to do that great work of God, but they leave the word. They say, you know what? I got enough to do this work. I think I can pull it off. Just like Elijah thought he could do. But it's not enough. We see here in verse 20 and 21, it says, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it. Maybe the pastor preaches a message about doing something great for the Lord, and that they with joy received it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution riseth because of the word, they by and by he is offended. He didn't stay in the word. He got burnt out. And that's a danger. We think we have enough depth, so let's just run out and do something great. Let's look here in Luke 14. Luke 14, 26. I have the parable of the tower. Luke 14, 26. 14:26 says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." It's not talking about literally hating them, kids. Literally hating your parents. It's talked about your love for God is so much more than your love for your parents, your love for your brothers and sisters. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me," note that word, "come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" And that's where Elijah was. He started a great ministry, but 3 years later, he wasn't able to finish it. And if we're going to finish the tower that God has given us, a tower, God's kingdom, furthering God's kingdom here, we're going to have to stay in God's word. Keep getting the faith to keep building. There'll never be a time. Listen up. There'll never be a time when you say, "You know what? I've already read the Bible, several times. I pretty much every passage the pastor ever preaches on, I know that verse already. I've already heard that verse. You know what? I have enough. I don't need to keep reading my Bible day after day after day because I already know these verses. There's not a new verse in there for me." There'll never come a time when you say, I have enough of God's word to where I don't need to read it anymore. There'll never come a time. If you say that, you're lying to yourself. You will never have enough to finish your life without reading it every day. And we kind of try to fool ourselves into thinking, look, God already did something great with my life. Look, some of my kids already turned out. I've already got everything figured out. I think I have enough to just finish, just keep doing what I'm doing. It'll never be enough. You have to go day after day after day to that still small voice, having God teach you to get through that day. Or you'll for sure burn out just like Elijah did. Why is it that we have to have God's word? Why is it that it's only God's word that satisfies us? Why is that? It was His word, it was His breath that what? That created us. It was that dirt, that clay, and God's breath. Then, it was God's word that what? Regenerated us. That made us born again. That gave us our rebirth. Amen. And it is only His word that will sustain you. And whatever work that God does through you, no matter how big, how impressive, how much fire, whatever, we still have to go back to that still small voice. We still have to go back to the Bible, or we will burn out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this story about Elijah. And I pray that please forgive me in my life and the times that I just wanting to be so pragmatic and trying to get things done and trying to just do, and getting out of your word, thinking that I had it all figured out. And I pray that please forgive me for that. And pray that all those here, young people, they have a lot of energy and might choose them to do something to work in their lives, to work in some visitor's life or inviting people to church, and they could give a lot of them a lot of success doing that here and start working them in a great way, maybe in some parents and to raising their kids, Lord. But I pray that we would always never forget that no matter how great you use us, that it will never replace your work will never replace your word. Help us to keep going to the source going back to that still small voice in your word and getting the strength we need to not burn out, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.